Exodus chapter 4 again tonight, Exodus chapter number 4. We'll just read one verse of Scripture. This is part 2 to a message that I began this morning. Again, if you're taking notes, this is part 2 to the message I began this morning. Exodus chapter 4, this is our Old Testament book. We've come to verse number 18, but I'm going to read from verse number 21, get our title again, and then go right into it. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand." I've lifted out the phrase, "when thou goest." And I preach to you on those three words, "when thou goest," part number 2 tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me go back and tap on the head some things I said this morning. You can go back and get it if you want to hear more detail. But as we come to chapter 4, Moses is now 80 years old. And if you remember how we've already preached through the opening chapter 4 through verse number 17, Moses' life has been a spiritual roller coaster. He's had ups, he's had downs. God has been good to him. He's murdered an Egyptian. He's fled the country. He's on the 10 most wanted list, if you will, in the land of Egypt. He goes to the land of Midian. There he has a meeting with God Almighty in the midst of a burning bush. God calls out to him, and he begins to make excuses over and over and over again. God strips him of every excuse. God, and right here, Moses says another one. God strips him of that excuse. Moses keeps on going. Listen, I'm not worthy. I can't speak. He strips him of that excuse. The emphasis here is that Moses knew what God's will for his life was. He knew what it was, but he was fighting against it. Yet God in his tender grace and mercy just kept on dealing with him, kept on saying, "No, it's for you, it's for you, it's for you. Say yes, say yes." Well, the time came when Moses finally surrendered. He finally took the white flag and waved it and surrendered to God Almighty. Let me say this to you. It's a great day whenever somebody waves the white flag of surrender to God. Moses is waving the white flag and saying, "It's no longer my way. I'm going your way. I'm going to Egypt now because God has showed me his will." This being the case, God begins to speak and says, "When thou goest." In other words, the point is when your heart is now right, when you have now surrendered to God and you've waved the white flag of surrender, when that has happened and you honestly desire to do the will of God and you are now on the road, spiritually speaking, back to the land of Egypt, the will of God for your life. When that happens, there are 8 things to keep in mind. I gave you 3 of them this morning. Let me just mention them and then I'll start with number 4. First of all, we saw that when thou goest in the will of God, when you make up your mind, "I'm going God's way," when you do that, when you go, when thou goest that way, number 1, God speaks peace. Secondly, we've already preached on this, take your family along with you. Number 3, and we finished with this morning, you need the power of God. I was thinking about preaching with that, but I thought it might be a distraction. Anyway, could be a distraction laying back there. But anyway, let's pick up our sermon tonight with number 4. 8 things to keep in mind when you surrender to do the will of God. Those are the first 3. We pick up with number 4. Here it is. Number 4, finish all God has given you to do. Finish all that God has given you to do. Look at verse number 21. This is where I get this. "And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand." Now get this. God had given Moses tremendous power. God had given him a certain amount of wonders, miracles, to do when he got in the land of Egypt. And God said, when you get there, make sure you do all of them. Don't leave any one of them undone. In other words, friends, listen to me. God had placed tremendous potential into the hands of Moses. And God's telling him here, when you go, as you're obeying me, when you get there, you make sure that you fulfill the potential I've given you. You make sure that there's nothing left in your hands that I gave you to do. In other words, the Lord wanted Moses to fulfill everything he put into his hands. The point here is that God has put into every one of his children's hands a certain amount of things to do for him in this life. There's no question about that. Let us all who are in the family of God see our God-given potential and determine to finish all God has given us to do. Let me say this right here. Don't die with something that God has placed in your hands to do. Don't die with it undone. You know, I heard somebody say one time, and I'm paraphrasing here because I can't remember exactly how it went, but anyway, you'll get the main gist of what I'm trying to get across. He was talking about that one day he drove by a graveyard and he saw all of these tombstones, and he said the one word that just kept coming to his mind is, I wonder how much potential is buried in those tombs. Let me say something to you. My life verse, I encourage you to get one. My life verse to me, I'm not saying that your life verse is this to you, but to me, my life verse is not something that I've done, but something I'm striving for. And I've adopted as my life verse, John chapter 17, verse 4. It's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his heavenly Father, and here's what he said. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I can honestly say this, and I'm not finished. And I sure hope, I sure pray that when I cross over the other side, that there's nothing in my hands that God says, why'd you leave that in your hand? Why'd you leave that undone? Why didn't you get that out of your hand like I wanted you to? It is my desire for God to be able to speak to me these words. I would love for God to look at me someday and say, you glorified me on the earth. You finished the work that I gave you to do. 2 Timothy 4:7, the Apostle Paul, when he could have said so many things at the end of his life, hey, God's used me to write most of the books in the New Testament. Hey, God used me to speak to mighty crowds, to establish many churches. That's not what he said. When he got down to the end of his life, see that dear soldier of the cross sitting in that Roman prison, writing to his young son in the faith, Timothy, and he said this. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. I was reading in my devotions this morning, and a verse dealt with this, so I wrote it down in my own handwritten notes here. Colossians 4:17, listen to this. And say to Archippus, this is Paul speaking, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. You know, this is one of those thoughts that, if you will, it's really simple, I understand. But I'm telling you that this is something that'll change our life. Why don't we all say, God, whatever you put in my hands, don't let me die with it in my hands. Help me fulfill my potential for God. See, the fourth thing that we see in this text, when you go, when you wave the white flag of surrender, realize that when you do that, God is putting, what I'm talking about, he has placed so many wonderful things in your hands that he wants you to do. By the way, the devil's a master trying to get you to look at somebody else's hands. Hey, I don't have my hands what he does. Hey, I can't do it. Don't worry about what everybody else has in their hands. Look at what God has placed in your hands and say, God, help me finish what you've given me to do. Finish, finish, finish. That's what I'm preaching about. Give God all you have and make sure that nothing dies in your hands. Let me give you a fifth thing. These are just principles, principles. I realize you're not going to remember all of these unless you're writing them down, but I trust one of them is going to touch you, one of them is going to hit you, one of them is going to help you here. Number five, realize, now we're talking about when you wave the white flag, when you give in to God, when you say yes to the will of God. Number five, realize that not everybody is going to respond right. Not everybody's going to respond right. We see this in verse number 21. Notice, and the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. Now the Lord told Moses that when you go to Egypt, I want you to perform all the mighty works, but I want you to know before you ever get there, Pharaoh is not going to respond right. See, we see in this how the Lord said he would harden Pharaoh's heart. Now, don't let your heart skip a beat there, friends. Because you know that some people try to take that and say, right there proves the Calvinist doctrine. Hogwash. Hogwash. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about here. While some try to make this mean that Pharaoh was like a puppet in God's hands, we know that's not the case. See, it's interesting to note that when you read through this book, and when you read in the book of Romans and all these kind of places that talks about Pharaoh hardening his heart, God hardening his heart, Pharaoh hardening his heart, God hardening his heart. Wait a minute here. In this book, it's mentioned over and over again how Pharaoh hardened his own heart against God. And it wasn't until, according to my study, after the fifth plague that it was said God hardened his heart. Now, what does this mean? Here's what it means. The point here is after God gave him the right thing, and he said no, and God said, let my people go, and he said no. God said, let my people go. He said no. God said, let my people go. He said no. God said, let my people go. He said no. God said, okay, your heart is hardened. What I'm saying here, it's as if Pharaoh committed the unpardonable sin. In other words, the patience of God ran out on Pharaoh. And now judgment was going to fall. You know, Scofield puts it well. If you have a Scofield Bible, you can read the note he has right there. I'm quoting from it. In the face of the righteous demand of Jehovah and of the tremendous attestations by miracle that he was indeed God and that Moses and Aaron were his representatives, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Instrumentally, God hardened Pharaoh's heart by forcing him to an issue against which he hardened his own heart in refusal. Light rejected, rightful obedience refused, inevitably hardens conscience and heart. Another man put it this way, as the earthly sun produces different effects upon the earth, according to the nature of the soil upon which it shines, so is the influence of the divine Son of Grace manifests itself in different ways upon the human heart according to its moral condition. In other words, just like Butler said, the sun melts the ice, but it also hardens the clay. And sun, now get this, the same sun causes the garbage to rot and smell with foul odor, but that same sun makes the flowers bloom and give forth a beautiful fragrance. See, it's not the sun to blame, neither is it God to blame. Pharaoh hardened his own heart against God. Pharaoh said, no, 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 no. The Son of God was shining upon him. I'm talking about this is the will of God for your life, Pharaoh. Let my people go. Let my people go. No, 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 no. So God said, okay, now I'll say no. And your heart is now hardened. It is dangerous to say no to the will of God. Because the fact of the matter is, whenever he passes judgment upon sinners, it is in his sovereign hand. Can I say this to you? If he leaves the door open for 200 years, that's his call. But if he decides to leave it open just for 2 days, he still is righteous in that too, friends. Nobody knows whenever their last chance is coming. Nobody knows. So if somebody knows the will of God and they say, no, 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 you're living in danger of God saying, okay, now I'll harden your heart. Because the same sun that helps the flowers grow hardens the clay. Now, I'm bringing that out, but that's not the point of this verse. But I felt like I needed to bring that out because some of you need to understand what that means. But let's not get tripped up here. Let's not get sidetracked from the main point that Moses is learning from God here. See, so many people see that and say, see. It's not the point of the passage. It's not the point of the passage. What's the point of the passage? The point of the passage is this, that God wanted Moses to know that even though your heart is right, not everybody is going to like it, Moses. Not everybody is going to respond right here. In other words, he wanted Moses to know it was not going to be a bed of roses, that not everybody's going to like him coming into Egypt. You know, it's time we understand that when we surrender to the will of God, not all are going to be pleased with that. Not everybody's going to be pleased with it. Not all are going to respond right. Not everybody's going to come up to you and say, God bless you for going God's way. I'm going to tell you something, friends. The Word of God plainly teaches, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. John 15, 19, Jesus said, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. It's so important that you understand. And it's so important that I understand. Listen, nobody likes to be rejected. Nobody does. I don't care who you are. You don't like to be talked about. You don't like to have a knife stuck in your back. You don't like people to downgrade you. You don't like to be rejected. Nobody does. No flesh likes to be rejected. But God is honest. And God is saying, Moses, now your heart is surrendered. I've got news for you. Pharaoh's not going to like you very much. Pharaoh's not going to like you. Pharaoh is not going to say yes to you. Pharaoh's not going to bow to you. And you need to understand that when thou goest. See, there are some people who get tripped up because they think that when they gave in to God, that everybody would wave the white flag to them and say, glory to God for what you just did. Friends, listen to me. If you're in it for the applause of man, you'll quit. You'll quit. And the devil will make sure that everybody who's doing something for God or trying to do something for God, he will put somebody in your life to try to discourage you and try to let you know that not everybody likes you. Do you like it when you find out somebody can't stand your guts? You like it? I don't think anybody likes that. But I'm telling you that if you give your heart to God, somebody's not going to like it very much. You need to understand that. Young people, you need to understand that. You say, what should I do then? Should I just not give in to God? What a ridiculous question. Go God's way, have the power of God on your life, and watch God work in the lives of those who doesn't like it all that well. Let me give you a sixth thing. Sixth principle. When thou goest, we're looking at this tonight. When thou goest, finish all God has given you to do. When thou goest, realize not all are going to respond right. When thou goest, in the will of God. Now, we're talking about when your heart's right. You've waved the white flag of surrender. You're not making excuses any longer. You're going God's way. When that happens, number six, keep it in mind, God's word is your authority. God's word is your authority. We see this in verses 22 and 23. Notice this. This is God speaking to Moses, and he says this, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel's my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now, wait a minute. Now, we're not talking about some servant in the land of Egypt. We're talking about the Pharaoh. We're talking about, if you will, in human terms. We're not talking about spiritual terms, but humanly speaking. You're talking about the most powerful man on God's earth at this time. And God said, when you go, here's what I want you to tell him. Now listen to this. He says, I want you to go into his presence, and I want you to tell him, this is the word of God. Let Israel go, they're my firstborn, that they may serve me, not you. And by the way, Pharaoh, if you don't listen to me, I'm going to kill your firstborn. Read it. Can I say something to you? If he's saying that in the energy of the flesh, they're going to cut his head off. But if he's using the authority God gave him, Pharaoh's not going to do anything to him. You know what this tells me? My authority's not me. My authority I'm holding in my hands. Let us at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church tie ourselves down to the Word of God. Let us not try to win people with entertainment or anything else. Let us rear back on our heels and say, thus saith the Lord. I'm telling you that when God gave Moses the words to speak, God also gave Moses his authority to speak it with. Moses needed to realize, and God was telling him, when you go into the land of Egypt, I do not want you going into Pharaoh's presence and telling him what you've gone through. I don't want you to tell him your experience. I don't want you to tell him anything about the burning bush. All I want you to tell him is this. You tell him, here's what God has to say. This is the word of God for your life. Now I'm telling you, we need to understand that the word of God is our authority. As a matter of fact, there's three things I see right here that he told Pharaoh, that he told Moses to tell Pharaoh according to his word. He said, first of all here, I want you to give him my desire. You tell him from my own lips that it's my desire for the Israelites to be set free. Secondly, he told him his purpose. He said, you tell him that the reason I want Israel set free is so they may serve me. By the way, God never sets somebody free just to live their own way. He sets them free to serve him. Thirdly, he said, the last thing I want you to share from my own lips is my judgment. You tell him that if he doesn't listen to me, I'm going to take his boy out. Now, friends, all I'm saying to you here is it is time that we realize, and I know I'm repeating myself, but I do that a lot for emphasis. It is time we realize that when we give in to God, when we wave the white flag of surrender, when we say it's not my way anymore, God, I'm through with excuses. My answer is yes, sir, to you. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going. When you make that decision, your authority is no longer you. By the way, before you made that decision, your authority was you. No. I'm not worthy. I can't speak well. You made a mistake. You know what you're doing at that time? You've put yourself on the throne and saying you know more than God does. But when you get off the throne and God in your own heart ascends the throne in your heart and now he's sitting king in your heart and you're going God's way, we need to keep in mind it is his word that is our authority. His word. Let me tell you something. It makes no difference who's in the audience. It makes no difference if somebody's sitting in the audience that nobody knows or if somebody's sitting in the audience that everybody knows. God's word is authority over any human being on planet Earth. Amen. Let us realize we have the very words of the living God. This is God's word. I mean, this is not man's word. It's God's word. And God said, when you go to my will, when you go to the Egypt I have for you, you don't go there with your know-how. You don't go there with your experience. Nothing wrong with know-how. Nothing wrong with experience. But if you, I'm talking about rely on that, you're not going to get much accomplished. But if you go into that land and you take the word of God and you say, let me tell you what God said. Let me give you the Bible. Let me tell you the word of God. Things are going to happen when somebody does something like that, friends. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Titus 2, verse 15, these things, talking about what the Holy Spirit speaketh, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So we're looking at this again here now. We're looking at when you give in to God, realize that not everybody's going to respond right. Finish everything God's put in your hands to do. God's word is the authority. Number 9, you must be clean yourself. You must be clean yourself. We see this in verses 24 to 26. Let's read this together. Look at verse 24. And it came to pass, by the way, in the end. By the way, what way? He's in the will of God. He's waved the white flag of surrender. But in the end, the Lord met him and sought to kill him. God's going to kill Moses. He's going to kill him. You say, what in the world's going on? Then Zipporah took a sharp stone, cut off the foreskin of her son, cast it at his feet, and said, surely a bloody husband thou art to me. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art to me because of the circumcision. You say, Jody, what's the point here? Boy, this is a strong point. Here we see Moses is on his way in the will of God. When all of a sudden, God's going to kill him. The reason was that he had not circumcised his son. Now, circumcision was the sign of the covenant given back in Genesis chapter 17. And for the Israelite people, failure to circumcise meant being cut off from God's people. Now, Miss Lashley put it this way, and I quote from her because she put it so well. Moses was on the way to liberate the people of the circumcision, but he had failed to circumcise one of his own sons. God would not allow Moses to be the leader of the people and lawgiver until he himself in his own family had observed the very first law that God gave Israel. One person put it this way, obedience at home must precede the display of power to the world. Did you hear that statement? Obedience at home must precede a display of power to the world. One person put it well when he put it, was almost like this, almost like God saying, and I quote, hold it right there, hold it right where you are, Moses. You'll become my instrument before the Gentiles and before their king and rulers. But before you do, there's a very private area of neglect you need to remedy. It's something I don't take lightly, and I don't want you to take it lightly either. Moses, here is one area nobody else may know about. But I know about it, and you haven't taken care of it. J. Vernon McGee put it this way, if Moses would proclaim God's will to others, he had to be obedient to God's will himself. The point is the hand that holds the rod must be clean. One person put it this way, if you want to lift a soul out of the pit, you must first get a good solid footing out of the pit yourself. After Moses surrendered, it's interesting that God shined the light on a family private matter. Isn't that interesting? I mean, Moses is a surrendered man. I mean, here he is. He said, hey, it's no longer my will, it's God's will. Hey, I'm going God's way. I mean, he's through with excuses, and he gets right with God, and he's on his way. Get him now. See him now. He has the rod of God in his hand. He's got his family with him. Everything seems to be fine. Everything seems to be right. And all of a sudden, God's after him. God shined a light on a hidden area in his life. And he said, wait a minute, son. You can't go a step further till you get that right. You know what's interesting to me? That some of those who are the tenderest to the Lord are those who are the closest to God. You ever noticed how most people who respond outwardly are those who are already doing what they're supposed to be doing? You ever noticed that? You ever noticed how sometimes people come to the altar and I'm like, thank God that he's working in their heart, but I don't know anything they need to get right. You know how God works? When he stepped into the will of God and he was already doing what God told him to do, God showed him another area he needed to get right. Some people never get to the secret parts of their family because they've never waved the white flag of surrender. It's interesting that when you're in the will of God and your heart's in it and you really desire it, God will begin to show you things. You need to get rid of that. You need to get rid of this. That's not right. You need to settle that. You can't keep that right there. You've got to get that right with that person. Why does he do that? Because he has a great work in Egypt for you to do. And you must be clean yourself. F.B. Meyer put it this way, the more fruit-bearing qualities we possess, the more thoroughly shall we be pruned. The finest, rarest metals are exposed to the widest heat, and it was because Moses was to be so eminently used that he came into God's most searching discipline. The Lord knew there was an area in Moses' life that needed to be corrected before he could be used in such a marvelous way. One man put it this way, and I quote, how inconsistent for us to encourage, right here, how inconsistent for us to encourage others to follow the Lord if we're not faithfully following the Lord ourselves. You know, it's hypocritical for me to get up and say, you need to be doing this, and you need to be doing that, and you need to be doing this, if I'm not doing it myself. See, he's getting ready to go into Egypt and lead the people of the circumcision outside. And God said, I can't allow that. Matter of fact, it was so serious with God that he said, I will not allow it. And if Moses had refused, I know his wife did it, but Moses had to be in agreement with it. If Moses had not allowed his son to be circumcised, God would have killed him. You say, how do you know that? Because that's what the Bible says. The Lord sought to kill him. God was coming after him. And he was saying, get it right or else. Well, I'm telling you what's the truth. What challenges me in this is that didn't happen until his heart was already right. He was already surrendered. God said, okay, how serious are you about it, boy? Let me show you another area you need to get right. You see this? The Bible says in Isaiah 52:11, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go out of the midst of her, get this, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. So number seven, we see you must be clean yourself. That God will reveal areas in your life as you're right with Him. You've already waved the white flag. When thou goest and you're on the way in God's will, God will show you every now and then, you need to get this right. I've got a great work for you, but you never can do it when you get there unless you get this settled first. I hope you see what I'm getting across there. Then number eight. It's the final thing. Number eight. When you go, when thou goest, when you're in the will of God, when you've waved the white flag, I hope I'm driving home the main point like I should be. When you've waved the white flag, here's number eight. You will see firsthand God keeping His word. You'll see it firsthand. Let me explain this to you. Look at verse number 27. The Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses, and he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the did the signs in the sight of the people. Notice closely verse 31. The people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that they had looked upon their affliction and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. You say, Jody, what's the point here? Here's the point. Going back to when Moses was giving all of his excuses, remember? Oh, I can't, I'm not the one. Going back to that time, if you remember, God said, okay, I'll send Aaron with you. That's what he told him. He said, I will send Aaron to meet you, and he'll go with you. And he also told him this. He said, when you get to the land of Egypt, they will believe you. That's what God told him. I think it's chapter 3, verse 18 or something like that. I may be off on the text, but God had told him, he said, when you go, I'm telling you, they're going to believe you. They're going to listen to you. It's interesting here that as Moses was on his way to Egypt, are you listening to me? Where's Aaron? Where's he at? He's not with him. All Moses has is God's rod, his wife, and his sons. Wait a minute, God said Aaron's going. Where is he? Thought God told me Aaron was coming along. He kept on going in the will of God. God stopped him right in his footprints and showed him an area that he needed to get right, and he got it right. And the next thing he knows, who's that coming there? And it was Aaron. You know what that tells me? That when Moses was living in obedience to the revealed will of God in his life, God showed that Moses could trust what he says. He said, I'll send Aaron, and he sent Aaron. And when they both went to the land of Egypt, when they went to the land of Egypt, the Bible says that they showed all the signs in front of them. And notice what happened. It says, and the people believed. What did God tell him would happen? God said, if you go, they'll listen to you. They'll believe you. So when he went, God showed him firsthand that he's going to keep his word. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to see God personally keep his word? I mean, would you like to personally experience God's promises coming true in your life? Who wouldn't, right? Wouldn't you like to personally say, boy, God said that would happen and it sure did? Let me tell you how you get it. when thou goest. When you decide to say no more me, and you go on that road, and while you're going on that road, he shines his light, maybe on a private area like it was with Moses, maybe a family area, maybe neglect somehow. He shines it, and you get that right, and all of a sudden, on the road back to Egypt, and even when you get in Egypt, you start seeing things happen that God said all along, if you do this, I will. If you will, I will. If you will, I will. If you will, I will. And firsthand, you will experience God keeping his word. I close with this thought, if you will, I'm coming down for a close. Just to illustrate with a personal story again, that when I obeyed the Lord's call, now there's been many times I've not obeyed the Lord in, but specifically when I was leaving baseball and going into the ministry, the Lord began to share with my heart. I was still a young Christian. I was a freshman in college, but I didn't know beans from barbecue. It was awful, terrible. But all I knew is that God was calling me to leave baseball and go into the ministry. I knew God was telling me that. I can't explain to you. I just knew it. And God gave me a peace. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. You know, God showed me at that time, and as a result of that, that God works on two areas, two ways. I don't see him here tonight, but if he is here, I'm not trying to embarrass him. But while God spoke to me about leaving baseball, God spoke to Brother Charlie Moore about helping me through school. And as a teenager, college kid, over the summers, Charlie Moore, with his own personal money, put me on staff here at the church over the summer. Paid me $500 a week. That man's one of the most giving men I've ever been around in my life. But I had no idea he was going to do that. All I knew is that God told me, son, leave ball. Because, see, I was getting paid to play. Because I was on full scholarship at East Tennessee State University. But I'm a mama's boy, proud of it. She's here. I'm a mama's boy. I stayed at home. Well, the money that was going to my room and board, they were just signing a check and giving me the money. Because it was mine. I was on full scholarship, but I wasn't using it. So they were just paying me to play baseball in college. Turned all that in. That's nothing. I'm not lifting myself up. Don't ever take that wrong. But I didn't know how I was going to pay. I just knew God was telling me to go. That's all I knew. And in my heart, I knew God was somehow, some way going to take care of it. And the whole time he was dealing with Brother Charlie Moore, and I had no idea. And when I stepped out by faith and went this way, Brother Charlie Moore stepped out by faith and went the same way and said, okay. He said, yes, I will too, and God provided every one of my needs. You say, what'd you learn through that? I learned that what God said he'll do, he'll do just that. You only learn that when thou goest. When you're going on the way, that's the will of God for your life. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you and thank you for this time. Help us with these simple principles to understand. Help us to apply them to our life. Help us to go your way. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us. Convict us. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Let me start where I try to always start, and that is with your salvation. Do you know without a doubt that heaven's your home? Do you know without a doubt that if you drop dead of a heart attack that you would see Jesus face to face? Do you know without a doubt, not playing games, 100% sure that heaven's your home? If you do, something inside of you say, glory to God, I already know that. But if you don't know that, you can come. Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you as a Christian about determining to finish what God's given you. That God has put some things in your hands. And as I gave you point number 4 tonight, that's the point it was, to finish what God has put in your hands. Maybe God's speaking to you about finishing right. Maybe God's speaking to you about, God, help me not to die with potential. Help me not to die with something in my hand that you've given me to do. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to his child about just giving his word. That as you go in the will of God, your authority is not yourself, it's not your know-how, it's not your speaking ability. No, it's the Word of God. And we give the Bible, we give God's Word.
Or maybe God's speaking to you tonight because, hey, you're on that road, your heart's right, you've waved the white flag of surrender, but God's Spirit is now shining His searching light on a specific area in your life. And the whole time He's saying, boy, I'm glad that you're on the right road, but you cannot proceed until this is taken care of. Maybe the Holy Spirit is shining His convicting light on something. Maybe it's something private in your life. Maybe it's a family matter, just like Moses. Maybe it has something to do with your family. And God says, listen, here's an area that you need to get right. You're going the right way. Praise God for it. Thank you for it. But I cannot let you proceed until you take care of this. Or maybe God's speaking to you about wanting to see Him keep His word. I'm going to tell you what I like to see. I like to see things that we have to step back and say, God did that. I like to step back and say, only God could have done that. You know how we see it? Away with excuses. Yes to the will of God. And as you proceed and He shines light on something, you get it right, you're going to watch Him and see Him keep His word in your life. He's not going to lie to you, friends. He's never lied to you, and you're not going to be His first. Let's determine see the hand of God in our lives. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it. Use it in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. God is speaking to you. You leave your place and come.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith.
Come on, talk to God about it. Talk to the Lord about it. God, help me finish what you've given me to do. Help me not to die with somebody.
But you can.
My life.
Until all on the
and Lord, that area that you're shining your searching light on, help me get it right. Help me go on for God.
That the way it happens is when the individuals who are your children, every one of us, wave the white flag of surrender. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Remind you of a couple things before you leave. The Parade of Nations for children, 3 year through 12th grade, and parents, if you'll make your way down here. Let me go ahead and dismiss those who are currently doing something with our shut-ins or nursing homes and those who would like to get involved in that or potentially get involved in that. Let me dismiss you folks first. If you'll go to the blue room, I'll meet you there in just a moment. Again, those who are currently doing something like that or who may have an interest in that, I'll meet you in the blue room right after the service right now. I'm going to ask our preacher, God bless you, sir, if you'll dismiss us in prayer. Let me encourage you, if you'll look this way, take the rod of God with you this week, friends. Take the power of God and ask God to use you in a great way. And God willing, we'll see you
on Wednesday night. God bless you. For